Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 77 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled, Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Becoming More Light Than Sound. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for today. And we thank you, O God, for our privilege and just our honor to be with you and in your presence, with your people. Lord God, it is truly a joy and just a wonderful day that you've set aside for us to come together and enjoy you and to enjoy your friends. And if they're your friends, they're our friends. So, Lord God, we thank you for this day. We ask and pray that your Spirit would be with us with the supernatural side of the kingdom of God, that it would give us supernatural revelation, give us a supernatural understanding, a supernatural, oh God, divine purpose. Lord, I ask and pray for that this group this morning, this prophetic group, that we would have consciously upon our minds that the group that is coming after us, that we're the preceding group. And Lord, I pray that this preceding group would have the preceding word even into the next service for the time that your saints gather together. And Lord God, we are asking and praying, just like you've given us air to breathe, just like you've given us food to eat, we're asking and praying, oh God, that you'd send us your divine spirit to give us this divine purpose in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We do welcome you all again being here today and so glad to be in the house of the Lord. It is such a, there's a lot of places you could be at today, and there is a, to be in the house of the Lord with God's people. And some people say, well, Alan, we're the house of the Lord. This is the house of the Lord. It's where we get together. And I don't get hung up on words or names too much. I believe where God's people gather together that this is a house of the Lord. Just like today's been set aside to fellowship with God and his people, so has this building been set aside to worship in and to worship with God's people. And for us to see the purpose of a day and a place that's been set aside for a particular purpose, it brings to our conscious mind the importance of these things that have been set aside, this day and this place. It's been set aside for this divine purpose. Since it's been set aside for a divine purpose, it's kind of like, prophetically and in the spirit, it's when things are set aside for particular spiritual purposes, it is a it's a divine connection, you could call it. This day has been set aside, this place has been set aside, and it is a God takes notice of that, I guess is one thing I'm trying to say. God takes notice of what's been set aside for him. God takes notice to that. And so I feel like he's going to take notice today of what's going on in the church houses around the globe. The title or the subtitle for today's teaching is Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Becoming More Light Than Sound. Becoming more light than sound. Now, on a prophetic adventure here, we know that in understanding Scripture that we have metaphors, we have comparisons. God goes to a lot of trouble to give us a revelation, not of the mind, but of the spirit. And it just so happens we take information in our minds, but God's after the revelation of the spirit. So I've got the subtitle today as Becoming More Light Than Sound. Now, there lies the big battle of the spirit, because mankind tends to want to be more sound than light. In other words, we want to be heard. We want our opinions sought. We want to be heard. And light is sound that has been taken to a greater vibration than what's heard. So therefore, is light sound? Yes. But light's heard in the spirit, not by the naked ear. So light is a sound, but it's faster vibrations, and the light or the sound of God is seen, not heard. Just keep that in mind as you're trying to use your sounds of your mouth to convince somebody of something, that the light of your life does not back up. Amen? Now, as we're moving forward in this revelation and this spiritual understanding, a routine of being transparent with Jesus is the beginning of a true disciple. Now, we've been through the last few weeks on transparency. I'll hit those three things again today just for one or two slides. But the key, or what we're wanting to capture as a disciple of Christ, is transparency. The reason I bring that up again today is because of the importance of transparency. Unless you catch and understand what being transparent before Christ is and what it really means, the transparency is not just necessarily so you'll be heard, it's so that you can see yourself. Did you know that others can see you better usually than you can see yourself? Is that not scary? Because we will defend who we think we are, but the truth is we don't know really how we appear. We have intentions in our heart, but the heart is lived out. Now, more light, or Jesus, can travel through transparency. In other words, the more transparent you are, the more of the light of Christ can penetrate your heart. Does that make sense to you? So, is transparency optional if you're wanting to move forward in things of the Spirit? It's just not optional. Now, we can be as transparent as we know how to be, understanding that the power of the Holy Spirit is always with us to reveal unto us how and what areas we need to be more transparent with God in. Because you can say, well, I'm being as transparent as I know how to be. Well, that's fine. That's good. I commend you for that. But your prayer is, God, show me the areas that I am not transparent in. Show me those areas. Now, here are some of the things we need to consider. Did you know that there are wars fought in the name of God? Did you know people have been killed in the name of God? So did you know that one of the places in your life that needs to be cleaned up and more transparent is your idea of representing God? Can anybody hear that? Now, we have one thing called sin, and we have another, what I call representing God. And those things in representing God, that's where we need the light upon our hearts. All right, let's move forward. Transparency, remember this, and translucency. Transparency is having a property of transmitting light without appreciable scattering so that bodies lying beyond are seen clearly. Of course, I gave those examples of light passing through a clean glass. It goes straight through. And then we get into translucency, is permitting light to pass through, but diffusing it so that persons, objects, etc. on the opposite side are not clearly visible. So then we went into this next one called opaque. Darkness is the absence of light. And opaque means that no light travels through. So it's possible to sit here in one of three ways this morning: transparent, translucent, or what? opaque. That means that the light of God can come through, or a partial light of God comes through, or no light of God comes through. And yet it's not really a suggestion. It's the truth. It's just the truth. And so we can be, translucent and say, well, I can see that. I can see the light of God. The trouble with translucent is that it changes the definition of pure light. It leaves out some things, and we'll find out more on that today. Now, translucent, transparent, and opaque, there we have just a little illustration of transparent. You can see completely through. Now, translucent here, as you can see, the particular color chosen here is green, then opaque, which is no light through it at all. Now, your perception creates a translucent filter unto the light that is received. Does that sound complicated? Your perceptions. Now, perception is an observation and an interpretation based chiefly off of memory. Perception, how you see things, your perception is based chiefly off of memory. And I know some sitting in here do not believe that that is true. But it does not change the fact that it's true. It's just absolutely true. Your memory affects how you see things. So therefore, when there's a healing, God is wanting to bring to conclusion or a healing to your memory. I have shown you that you are called a Zakar. It's the remembering ones. You're created in the image of God, the remembering ones. So if Satan wanted to come against you and destroy you, how would he do it? In your memory, your remembering. Are you with me there? So it's tremendously important, because how you then see things is based upon your memory. So the memory is huge, because we are created in the image of God, and our memories are a storage of those things. Now, light is vibration. Karen, if you would go to the keyboard just a second, please, ma'am. Light is a vibration. The entire electromagnetic wave spectrum of visible light produces different colors. Colors are simply waves vibrating at different frequencies. Colors are just different white light waves vibrating at different frequencies. Are you with me on that? So light has a vibration. And we got what we call white light. And white light is composed of all the colors together. When all the colors are together in harmony, it goes white. Are you with me? If, for instance, why do you think God made different color of people? Because we are all representation of the one light, the white light of God. It would be unto God that people of all races and colors come together in one place and have one voice. Then we would have the white light of the Spirit of God. I am called a white man. I need a black man, African-American man. I need a red man, a yellow man. We all need each other. We're all just one part of the light, but none of us separate are the full light. So therefore, we need all of the color to produce a true harmony. It's done the same way with notes of music. Karen, give me the first note in C chord, which would be C. Second note, what's that, E? G, right? Okay, first note, again. Second note, third note, G. Now play them as a chord. So each note is like a color. It's a vibration. Colors are vibration. Now play the C. Now play C and E together. Now those are in harmony. Now they're a little different color, but play them again. But they're in harmony. Let's throw another color in there, third note. Harmony, but it's a fuller harmony. So the more notes we got, the more harmony we got. Greater the harmony, the greater the vibration. The greater the vibration, the closer to the pure white light we get. Because it compiles of all the colors. Now, play the C chord. Now, there's a C chord. Now, some of you heard me do this before, but now play a dissonant chord or a dissonant note. Did you hear that? Play it again. Go back to natural. Dissonant. Okay, something's just a little off. Anybody notice that? Just a little out of harmony. It's called a dissonant note. It's on the keyboard and it's right beside all the other notes, but it's not in harmony. So there's something to harmony. Harmony's not optional. You ever try to do relationships, church, or anything with a dissonant note? You know, where somebody's running around the congregation running or yap about somebody? What does that play? It just gets off a little bit. So if the dissonant note shuts its yap, what does it sound like? Oh, that's better. How do you know you're playing that note? You don't even feel good. You don't sound good. You don't even like to hear yourself. You're an unhappy person. Did you know you can come to church on Sunday morning with God's people and it'll make you feel good? You know, it just feels good. It just feels clean. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Just feels clean. Well, what happens if you're carrying a bad note? I mean, what if I come in and Brian, I start making fun of him, start shaming him. What is that? It's a bad note. You can say, well, I'm not hurting anybody. It sends a bad vibration to the spirit world that is more real than you sitting here. So everybody that comes in are contributing notes. Now, Karen, just go up the kind of the scale, the last two octaves, and just play every note, not the flats or sharps. Just go all the way. Now, if you keep going 468 or 86 more times, those vibrations, you turn into light. Can't be heard with the naked ear, but it turns into light. So light is vibrations of sound. Did you know that light, they even got what they call light therapy now? Anybody heard of that? Yeah, got light therapy, bringing healing to the body. You can say poo-poo all you want to, but it's Bible. It's good vibration, and they direct it. And well, if a good vibrations can make you better, convey it, bad vibrations make you sick. You ever been around people who complain and criticize all the time? You kind of come away feeling like you're going to throw up. Oh, that's not a term I use, is it? Makes you a little sick. Means the same thing. You know what I'm talking about? You ever left any conversations like that? You leave the conversation feeling sick. The other person that made you sick leaves the conversation feeling like they're big and smart. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? All right, you got to decide on which end of that spectrum you want to be. Do you want to be a person who brings healing or a person who brings sickness? That's really a serious issue. How we conduct ourselves, what comes out of our mouth, how we behave. Now, let's move on. Our frequency of perception defines what we can and cannot see within the visible spectrum of light. Now, your perception creates what you see. Did you know that there's more to see than what you're seeing right now? You're not seeing all things. You just got a funnel vision. You're just seeing like this. Well, you're doing the same thing in the spirit. You're just seeing like this. We're not seeing it from God's view. So your perception, just as light, visible light is vibration, your perception, the vibration of your perception, gives you spiritual light, what you can see and can't see. And your perception is what causes you to be opaque, translucent, or transparent. It's your perception. Humans have more faith in their perceptions than they do God. Well, I said this. You just don't understand. This is the way it is. We can't understand all things like God. So we have to come to a conclusion. Where are the, I call it the spiritual science of it, where are the adjustments made so I can see more in the spirit and like God? Where it's made is with our perceptions. That's what we change. You've heard me say that a perception is an observation and interpretation based chiefly off of memory. We want to change it to an observation and an interpretation based chiefly off of faith. So we're in this process of exchanging some of these bad perceptions for faith on what God says, right? Now, let's move forward. Every object in the universe moves and vibrates. Everything is vibrating at one speed or another. Nothing rests. Everything we see around ourselves is vibrating at one frequency or another, and so are we. Now, what do I do? If a frequency is vibrating fast enough, it's a sound, and if it is vibrating much faster, it is a color of light. If we wanted to convert sound to light, we would simply raise its frequency by 40 octaves. This results in a vibration in the trillions of cycles per second. So if a pianist could press a key above the 88 keys that are on a piano that would produce light, this could create a chord of light in the same way they can create a chord of sound. In other words, vibrations have a point of harmony is the deal. When light is one light, it's because of this. Do you believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in unity? They're in full unity. That's the reason it produces the light of God. I'm hoping you can catch it, that as a church, we're not here for everybody's opinion. That's right. This is not a place of democracy. That's not what this is. We're here to see what God's Word says and to come into alignment with it. That's the purpose of church. Is everybody okay? Now, you need to trust who's interpreting it. If you're sitting under me, you need to have a level of trust. But not only that, you still need to be like a Berean. And you need to search the Scriptures to be sure what I'm saying. So, but still, it does not change the goal. The goal is we're coming together to learn about God and what He says. And it's that agreement. If a revival spirit, if all this comes through, the revival spirit will come in through this point of agreement. So when all colors come together with no filters, they produce what I call a chord of light. Transparent light produces light that is eternal. I'm already getting pretty hot up here. Is it just me? Y'all are probably cool down there, but it's hot up here. Is it hot? She's pretty warm. If maybe you could mention that to John, he could pull her down just a little. Transparent light produces light. Now watch it. Transparent light produces light that's eternal. This is interesting to me. Speed. slow, fast, speed. What is the fastest? What's the fastest thing in the universe? Light. God compares himself to the light of God's word, the light of God. Yet there's nothing any faster than light. You say, well, couldn't you just keep going? Well, the problem is, light is the fastest. Now, there's been several people that have tried to challenge that through theory and says, well, you can do this in quantum and you can do all, and that's fast, but it's all theory. Nothing's proven. Light is the fastest thing in the universe. Darkness is the absence of light in life. So if you feel like there's an area in your life that's dark, it's just absent of life, of light, which is life. Light and life are the absence of darkness and death. Darkness is the absence of light and life. Light and life are the absence of darkness and death. Now, can anybody tell me who that is? That's old Albert Einstein. He had something about relativity. Does anybody want to quote me that mathematical equation? Now, Albert Einstein was once asked a question. He was asked, did God create evil? Well, I mean, Einstein, being the smart guy that he was, they asked the right guy. They said, did God create evil? Now, look at his answer. Here's his answer. God did not create evil, just as darkness is the absence of light, evil is the absence of God. You get it? He was asked, did God create evil? And his response was, well, you're not getting it. God did not create evil. Just as darkness is the absence of life, evil is the absence of God. So here we see that the presence and the light of God changes things. Could we say this? Where there is no light, there is much evil. Why is it that most evil things happen in the dark? Correlation. Now, why revival? Why awakening? Why transparency? Now, this is a prophetic people that are serious about being disciples of God. Why revival? Why awakening? Why transparency? Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead or from darkness, and Christ will give you what? It says here, Christ will give you what? So there must be a spiritual transaction of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Christ, giving us more light. So what that is the response of the spirit world and of God. What is our alignment? He says, awaken you who sleep, arise from darkness or from the dead. When we arise from the dead, or when we're awakened from sleeping, we call it an awakening. Does that make sense? So when you have an awakening, you are then in position to receive more light. So why would God send light if you're asleep? We sometimes sit and say before God, dear God, I'm asleep, and if you can get any light past these eyes, go for it. It's like we're tempting God. So the reason we push and seek awakening or revival is because we understand this verse. If God's people will become awake, not lethargic, awaken, then we realize that we have this situation of more light coming. Why do you see? What do you see when there is no light? If you have no light in your life, or if you're asleep, what do you see? We see nothing. We are left with, I think. We are left with paranoia. They're all after me. They don't like me. This one doesn't this. This one doesn't have. What happens? All of these mental type illnesses start creeping in because we're in the dark. We have to guess. And we think we can outguess ourselves out of darkness. We're trying to prove that our dark theories are correct. Not understanding with that type thinking, you're going to stay in darkness. It is important that we seek the light. Now, true disciples are what? Do you think the world's getting darker? Well, if you do, guess what? Own it. You know my teaching on owning it? Own it. If the world's getting darker, own it. Says this in Matthew, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Now, somebody tell me what that is. Well, there wasn't a Walmart then, but if you could have, if there was, you'd have got your first light bulb at Walmart. First light bulb. Who created that? Thomas Edison. Now, he had a revelation. He had the revelation that man needed light to see in darkness. Now, there again, when the prophetic we compare to get truth. Physically, he had the revelation that man needed light, right? To see in darkness. Just as we need light and darkness to be able to read a book, do we need light in the spiritual world of darkness to be able to see? As disciples, we want to grow in light. We want to be more transparent. Our translucency is we clean it. Why do we repent before God? So more light comes in. We awaken out of our stupor, out of our sleep. Transparency, when we're transparent with God, then it allows us to clean up our life so more of the light of God can come in. Without it, as my English teacher would shudder, it just ain't happening. Without the transparency, which produces us cleaning up our windshield, it ain't happening. The light of God is your mistake, and you think it's the spirit, but it's your brain, not your heart. Most Christians walk in their brain more than their heart anyway, and thinking it's their heart. That's where religious spirit resides in the brain. The Holy Spirit resides in the heart. So which one do you want to speak out of? So, just watch it. We look at everything around us using what? You see, if you don't have light, your only option is your own thinking. If you do not have the light of God, your only thing that's left for you to operate out of, your only operating system is your own thinking. Now, are you excited about that? Well, your own thinking, for the most of us, has gotten us where we are. So we got to have light. Without light, you won't see anything at all, in the natural nor in the spirit. The light of God is absolute. It changes not. Now, that's one thing about true light. It doesn't change. It's absolute. It's the light of God, the truth of God, is like a lighthouse on the coast to a ship in a storm. How can it tell when it's getting off course? It looks at the lighthouse. It sees where the shore is. The lighthouse doesn't move. It's absolute truth. If God says it, you see, when the Bible says that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's talking about his truth. Anybody with me? His truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doesn't change. It's non-negotiable. I don't care what culture we're in or what culture we're not in. The truth of God's like a lighthouse. It's solid, it's permanent, and it stays there. And that lighthouse unto a believer produces the light so we know where we are in the sea of life. Now, there are two types of light that we're going to discuss. There's natural light, and there is what I call supernatural light. The natural light is what we see here on the earth. Now, there is supernatural light. With supernatural light, supernatural things can happen. Do y'all agree with that? With supernatural light, supernatural things can happen. Do we try to produce supernatural things through a translucent light or a transparent light? I want to show you this. Now, in natural light, we have it where it is written here in Genesis 1, talking about the creation and of natural light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was what? There was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning. You see in verse 3 where I have it underlined. And God said, "Let there what? Be light." And there was light. Now, what I want you to grab from this is that God created light. God created light. Now, let's look at supernatural light. 2 Corinthians, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness." Now, I just read that to you. Paul is referring to Genesis 1. "Who has shone in our what? Hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, the light that God has shines into our hearts, that light, there is an invisible light that you can't see, but it's there just the same. That light that God shines into our hearts is compared to the created light in Genesis 1:1. In Genesis 1. In other words, God created the light in Genesis 1, and Paul is comparing it. You see here, "For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." He's comparing it to the light in creation. That same light who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What is happening? God has shining his creative light, same light that's in Genesis 1, is the same light that he's shining into our hearts. Why is that important? This light is the revelation of light. And this revelation is the knowledge of God's glory. So it tells us when we've received a greater measure of light that the topic, what does this light look like? What does it sound like? What's it about? It's about the glory of God. Anybody see that? So how do I know I'm getting this light? What's it going to look like? What's it going to sound like? It's going to sound like and look like, and it's going to be about the glory of God. Well, that's wonderful. Where do I find it? In the face of Jesus Christ. You see it? It's in the face of Jesus Christ. So what does this light, how do I know if I'm receiving the light? Because it's going to sound like and look like Jesus. Now you understand a little bit more why Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. Be my disciple and follow me. Then he said, you will do greater works than I. How? Because that light, it's an ongoing, flowing light. It's not one shot will do you. Once it starts, it's flowing. And the enemy is in your life trying to get you to stop the transparency. He's throwing translucent things in your heart because the light's coming. Oh, he says, maybe I can make it opaque. Maybe I can stop the flow of this energy and this light into this heart. Because if it gets in there, it's going to come out and talk about the glory of God. So when you're spewing out loud, what's it going to sound like? You're going to be given witness unto the glory of God. That's what it's going to be. It's not going to be, well, if you love God, you're going to do this. If you love God, you're going to do that. You're going to do that. No, that's all religion. You're going to be talking about nothing but the glory of God. You know how the glory of God, where you say, well, Alan, I don't know that much. Well, go ahead and talk about what you do know. And there'll be more light following. Can anybody hear me? It's important about what we talk about, what comes out of this mouth. Is it translucent? Are you spitting on somebody else's windshield, causing them to be translucent? Or are you speaking and living a life that helps clean everybody's windshields so we can all be transparent? Now, the reason for the transparency is so the light can get in, but also so the light can get out. The translucency stops the light both ways. A lot of us have received light only to have crisis and different events in our lives cause us to be translucent. We sit in a corner, chew on a stick. We're mad and we're angry. Everything didn't go my way, so the light of God does not get out at all. Now, either a bird just flew over my head and done something, or the Holy Ghost gave me holy water, or this roof's leaking. I'm not sure which it is. It doesn't have any color to it, so I'm going to take it as God. Now, what creates a shadow? Now we got light and we got shadow. Shadows are caused by blocking the path of light. What causes a translucent glass to be translucent? What stops it? What causes the shadows? It's because it stops the pathway of light. Here we see an eclipse. In an eclipse, it's when the moon comes between the sun and the earth. And so it casts a shadow. Light must be present to create a shadow. Now, some places in our life, we feel like we're in darkness, or we're in a measure of darkness. We just don't. You ever felt like you're in the shadows? Now, what you got to understand, that's different than being in darkness. When you're in a shadow, there's got to be light present. Or it can't create a shadow. The further you are from the light, the bigger the shadow. Now look at this. The lights, let's say, way to the... See how big... Are those people's shadows bigger than they are? Yeah. Of course it is. I mean, it's 100 times bigger than they are. Their shadows are much bigger than they because they are further from the light. Now, here's what happens to us in the spirit. The further from the light we get, the more paranoid we get. The bigger your shadow. Has anybody in here ever been paranoid other than me? I mean, come on. Rest of you, y'all must be paranoid, the rest of you right now. You don't even raise your hand. Afraid I'm going to call you up here. Paranoia, fear. The further from the light we get, the bigger the shadow gets. The problem with shadow is you don't know what's in it. Not realizing that we are causing the shadow ourselves. One thing about not being transparent with ourselves and God is it causes us to be paranoid, fearful, and we're producing our own shadow that we're fearful and afraid of. Messes our noodle, our thinking. The closer to the light, when the light is right over you, the smaller the shadow. Here's a little girl. Light's almost right over. Look at her shadow. Why? It's because the closer to the light you are, the smaller the shadow. I'm just trying to give you a spiritual understanding of what happens to us spiritually and mentally. One thing I wanted to say right there also. The light is at the same place it's always been. The one who moves further away from the light is me. That produces the bigger shadow. The light is there just the same. How do I stay under the light? Now that's a good question. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. You see that? He who does what? Follows me. Shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light, life. Here's what we got to see. Is being a disciple or one who follows Christ, did you know you can be born again and not a follower? Yes. I mean, the enemy's constantly full time trying to get you to stop from being one. So we see here that what causes you to receive. You know where the scripture says we have abundant life? How do we get abundant life? By getting more light. If you're not more abundant in life now than you were, it's because your light stopped. More light, more life. Why is my light stopped? Because you quit following Him. It's really pretty simple, but we still have to say it out loud so that we get it. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. How do we stay under the light? By being a disciple. We're following Him. And I'll have to start here next week. And it says, where is this light and from where does it come? I'm going to start there next week as we're centering This teaching on the light has everything to do with the power of the kingdom of God in the individual believer's life. It's real, it's tangible, and it changes things. I mean, your thinking without the light might be pretty good thinking, but trust me, there's better thinking to be thinking on than your thinking. There's better thinking out there. And as we move forward as being disciples, we want to be taught and to follow Him. So let's stand, and we'll pick up here again next week. Lord Jesus, we love You. And I thank You for this day. And I ask and pray, oh God, that this morning would be a day that we would reflect, that You'd show us Your light of truth. And it's our prayer, oh God, that the joy of the kingdom of God would be in this place and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.